Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. Hi, everybody. You know, I'm sure you did not wake up to play games. And the Global Vision for Living Today show is not a game player. We're game changers. We are game changers for humanity. And that's why so many of you come to the show every week, because you want to learn how to live better, how to act better, how to walk better. You want to learn all those things. And you know, this show is designed for that. But today, the show topic is God interested in me? You know, we always bring it home. We always localize it. We may not be interested in the world and what they're doing and what they're saying, but we're interested in ourselves, the me, myself, and I, and our position in the world. How can I be better? How can I hear anything that's going to make me a better human being? Well, here you are, and here we are. Thank you for tuning in. As I said, our show topic this morning is God interested in me? And if he is, well, why is he interested in me? I'm not supernatural. I'm not superhuman. You know, I'm not able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. You guys know what that is. That's the moniker for Superman. Okay, and you know what? They got a Superman 5 on its way out. They claim it's going to be out for the holidays. I sure hope so. But right now, let's talk about you. You might be sick. You might be somewhere homeless in a restaurant listening to us this morning. You might be at the gasoline station plugged up. I don't know. It's not our business to know. It's God's business. And right now, you might be thinking, you know what? I'm initiate this supernatural God, you know, as some call him. He might not be interested in me. If I'm walking about, laying around about, you know, doing anything I think I'm big enough to do, as my daddy would say, you might think, oh, well, you know, he really might not be interested in me, but you're going to find out that he is. Today, as usual, we have Colonel William Harrison with us. You know, we have a lively show because, you know, we're going back and forth. We're bouncing off of each other to give you the best quality of information on this show. Is God interested in me? And then if he is, well, why? 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 We're going to hear why. Colonel Harrison, many people are thinking with the condition that they're living in, that this invisible God does not care about them. He really is not really thinking about them. All he was interested in was creating the earth and saying, let there be light, and, you know, let the water falls become in existence. He's only interested in his creative process. But when all was said and done, he looked around and he said, you know, something is missing on this beautiful globe. Only astronauts can really tell the story when they're out there millions of miles away. But, you know, people are saying, is he interested in me? Can we say God is interested in people on an individual level, Colonel Harrison?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Capitino, listening audience. Yes, we certainly can say that God is interested in me, you, and everyone individually. Because God is creator of heaven and earth that dwells therein, equally important. Mankind is God's greatest creation. So God is interested in that which he created, that is his greatest creation. Among all forms of animals and life form, mankind is the greatest creation that God made, man, woman, and child.
Well, people are saying, oh, my God, well, why did he do that? That might be, you know, a topic for another lesson, but if all that is true, I believe that it is true. The listeners probably believe what is said is actually true. But then if it is, and we can say it is, why is God interested in me, myself, and I?
Well, he created mankind to and for his glory, and wanted man created mankind in his image and likeness, so that mankind can glorify him, the creator, and glorify the things of the earth that God put here for mankind's use and benefit.
Okay. Okay, that sounds great. That's wonderful. Let me ask that question again. I'm talking about me, myself, and I. Why is God interested in me? I might know that he's interested in humanity. You know, I might have read that somewhere. I might know with all the billions on earth right now, oh, yeah, okay, he just might be interested in all of them, but I'm not talking about them. I'm up early in the morning because I am concerned about me. I don't know all of them. I don't know all of humanity, but I'm narrowing it down to me. I am the one feeling the pain and the sorrow, the trials and the tribulation. So let me step back. Me, I'm talking about me. Why? The individual listener. Why is God interested in them as a person, them? Their name is Molly Mae and Joe. Why is God interested in Joe? Why is God interested in Joe as an individual? What can Joe do for God?
God is interested in us individually so that we can serve him in the way that he desires for us to serve him. He's interested in each one of us because he created us, allowed us to come forth from our mother's womb specifically to serve him in a certain way that he only knows and he instructs and he directs in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's wonderful there because, you know, I know he has myriads, and a myriad is billions. He has myriads of angels. He has all kind of angelic form that is going around. Seraphim saying, holy, holy, holy. God has angelic supernatural spirits serving him. So why would he be interested in creating someone to just serve him? To just serve him. I read somewhere where all he is really interested in is our praise. He has servants now, already billions of years old, just like him. He has that. So where does me, where do I come in as an individual and showcase my life to make God interested in me? What qualities, I'm going there since whatever, I'm going here now. What am I doing? What could I do? What could I say? How could I live my life so that he would be interested in me? He got servants. He has servants. His greatest servant of all is sitting on the right hand, but that's another conversation. Why is God interested in me? As a person, what could I be doing to make God interested in me as a person? Not my mama, not my next door neighbor. I am talking about myself. I am the one feeling the pain and suffering. Since we've established somewhat that God is interested in us as an individual, then we might want to know, well, why is that? Why is that, Colonel Harrison? Can you answer that for us? Talk to us about that. Why is God interested in us as an individual? He didn't create a myriad of mankind. He created a human pair, Adam and Eve. That's it. He didn't create a whole bunch at one time. And we know the edict for him was to go forward. So let's kind of, and I think I just said that answer, but tell us again, why is God interested in us as individuals?
God is interested in us individually because he has a purpose for each of our lives. I'm reminded of the great prophet Jeremiah said, I know the plans that I have for you, plans of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. God has a specific purpose for each and every human being that's born. And so that purpose, God has it, and we have to We have to inquire of God to find out the purpose that he has for our lives, specific purpose for each and every one. Same as we have distinctive fingerprints, God has specific purpose for each and every human being born, what he wants us to do during our lifetime and our lifespan.
Oh, my God. I just love it. Now, you just hit on something. I was talking with the pastor on yesterday, and he was telling me that the fingerprints, I don't know what kind of, he was trying to tell me what his secular work was, but he was saying that every human being that's ever lived has a distinct fingerprint. He says you will never find one or two, three people with the same fingerprint. You know what? And I said, you know, you're kidding. I never would have thought that. So that, so I think he just as Colonel just said, you know, this person was trying to say that individually there's a plan and a purpose. And so now I think we know the reason why God is interested in us individually is because he's given each one of us individually a purpose and a plan. Now, some will say, well, you got to go find your plan. Well, you got to go find out. You're not going to be able to do that. If that was the case, it would already be done. And you wouldn't need the show or no one else to tell you anything. It would already be done. So with that being said, we might say, well, why is God interested? Well, number one, he says, let everything praise him. Now, that's on a collective basis, praise. So let's talk about this God being interested in us. He's interested in us because he expects praise. Now, you might say, oh, I thought this was a secular show, but we are trying to move into a more secular understanding of who God is because obviously if you look out into the world, you see that the interest in God is waning. But we can say, well, if God's interested in me, shouldn't I be interested in him? Yes, number one, so you do not get it twisted. This creative force, this being that we have within us called spirit, God, we can say is interested in us because he is a God of praise. Nothing more. We don't have to put any big words or anything on that. What is it going to matter anyway? God is interested in praise. The next thing, well, we can say, well, you know, I want to praise God. You know, I'm alive and I'm breathing and, you know, I'm not all crippled up or anything like that. And whether you are or not, let everything that have breath. It didn't say that has two legs, two arms, you know, two eyes, anything. Let everything, Psalm 150, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So, okay, so now I know that. So you guys make sure at the end of the show you go over to Psalms and then the 150, oops, there it is. Now we're secularizing this. So he's interested in you as an individual because he wants your praise. He wants you to praise him. Now someone might say, well, how do I praise him? Here we go back, and Colonel Harrison can expound on this. You're not going to praise nobody that you don't know. Praising somebody that you heard about, keep on sitting, fine. Keep on sitting. We're going to have a lesson on that coming up, our show topic. But to praise him, you're not going to praise anybody you don't know nothing about because that praise is part of the emotions of the brain. Praise, you've got to be moved within to praise. And if you have just heard about this God, if you don't know him, he said that they might know. This God said that in Psalm 83:18, that people might know, not sit up and listen. You know, it's okay, you know, you're in university. But now, this praise, Colonel Harrison, what is your definition of praise? Because we might not get any further than that. He's interested in you because he wants your praise, but you first got to come to a point where you know him. And you know him by your actions. People say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to know him because, you know, I'm going to go here tomorrow. I'm going to listen to him and all that. You know what? Look out the window and see what's going on there, that they might know me. So how can a person get to know this God? You know, there's many gods. There's many people worshiping all sorts of things, beast, animal. How can people get to know this God?
And praise would be getting to know God through adoration. Adoration is through reverence. It's through respect. It's through acknowledgement of the fact that there is a God, Jehovah, as you mentioned a short while ago, Dr. Capitina. So we praise him through reverence him, through respect, through living a life that's pleasing to him. So that's an outward expression of the acknowledgement of a superior being, supernatural being called God, whose name is Jehovah. So we praise him in that regard. Some people do it through singing. Some do it through holding up hands. Some do it through their lifestyle, the way they live, the way they conduct themselves, the way they carry themselves, the way they treat others, being our brother and sister's keeper. All of that is reverencing and praising and respecting and acknowledging the true and living God.
Oh, my God, that's kind of scary, but you certainly are true about that, because there's a lot of people, you know, jungles, you know, forest location, mountaintops, you know, they're not sitting around with any books, you know, even though the message about God is in all the nations, because there's a prophecy there in Matthew about that. And then certain things will happen once this good news is spread throughout the land. So it only seems fair that if God is interested in us as individuals, then we should reciprocate that and be interested in him. What are some of the ways that a person can get to really know God so that they can learn how to be interested? Be ye doers of the word. Doers of the word. And that word in Greek is really, it's the eye-opener. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. What kind of God would require people to be doers of his word? Would that be a no good God? I mean, would that be a God that doesn't care how people feel about him and vice versa?
It would be a loving God, a kind God, an omnipotent God, a God that loves everyone, a God who cares for everyone, a God that wants to provide for everyone, a God who wishes that none should perish, and that we live a life that's fulfilling, not only to ourselves individually, more importantly to him. And so that's why everything, there's an idea, whether it's a car, whether it's a desktop computer, whether it's some other electronic device, everything begins with he who has created something or she who has created something. And in this case, we're talking about God, the loving God, the creator of the universe that created everything that we see, everything we enjoy, everything we benefit from. So he is the creator. We are his creations. We are to give him reverence, adulation, respect, and acknowledgement for that which he's doing in our lives and allowing us to have life. Just to have life is a blessing in and of itself, knowing that God has created us and we have life this day, this time.
You know, that sounds very good. I mean, a very good explanation, because, you know, I was hearing where some minister said just breathing is the act of taking in God. When you breathe in, you're taking in God. When you breathe out, you're praising God. Let me say that again for you guys. When you breathe out, there's that outward expression of praise. And when you breathe in, you're breathing in God. You're breathing in the Spirit of God. That is Spirit. So the very fact that we're breathing in, we're exhaling, and breathing out, inhaling, and all of that, you know, that's the act of worship. And I never knew that right there. And that goes for the atheists, you know, all those other religions, self-made, man-made religions. The very fact that you're breathing, that's the act. That's the act of taking in the Spirit of God. And then the fact that you're breathing out, that's the praise right there in itself. So that sure sounds like God is interested in us as an individual. What should a person be doing, Colonel Harrison, once they find out, and I hope you have found out now, that God truly, really is interested in you, no matter where you're at, what your condition, you know, if you're sick, if you don't have any food, you know, on the table. I mean, oh, my God, these are conditions that would cause someone maybe, you know, to say, you know, forget God, you know, if there is one. I don't care. I don't understand why I should have anything to do with a God that I can't see. What would you tell a person that feels that he's in so bad a shape? He doesn't still realize that there's God somewhere. That shape that he's in, that condition, that's God telling him something. You better get up and do something, something, something. Old lady said, you better get in praises. I remember I was telling her when I had all of my children, they were stair-step. And I didn't know what to do. And I said, you know, I forfeited a full ride, 4-year scholarship to study medicine at that time. And, you know, I was worried. I said, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, this is my lot. And so and I was with another group of religious people. And she just said, and I talked about 2-3 hours, oh, this, say this, say this. You know, all I hear is them crying all day long. I mean, I got to bathe them. My hands are turning raw for bathing them every day, four of them. You know, I stopped doing that. But she said, just praise them. I said, what? She said, yes, I've been in this faith for 50 years. She was teaching me in another sect, and she said, just praise him. Ain't got nothing to eat, just praise him. Don't really know who he is, just get him praising him any way, anyhow. Don't have the rent money, just get up and praise him. Just put your hand, go through the house and put your hand in the window of the door. Just praise God. And you know what? It actually worked, because I remember getting on my hands and knees. I put my two boys, I had them hold hands on one side, and I put the two girls, and I remember asking God, I said, you got to do something. You know, I'm here with this very mean man, and I told him, I said, you guys better bow your head. And I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And within 2 months, I had an office there in Inglewood. You know, I was getting off the bus, and if I wanted a ride, if I wanted anything, you know, it was all there, people pulling up in the parking lot, who are you, what is your name, like that. God was making provisions, and he was doing great things, and reconciled with my dad. But to cut through the chase, God is interested in you. God is interested in you because he expects your full praise. Okay, I don't know how to praise God. What do you mean, praise? Colonel Harrison, when a person praises God, what are they doing? What should they do? How should they praise God?
Oh, we can praise God through having a talk with him, which is called prayer. Praise God through singing. Praise God through acknowledgement of him, fasting. Praise God through our individual conduct, how we live our lives in our homes, in our neighborhood, at our workplace, in the community, how we exemplify the fact that we are precious to God. God loves us because he's given us life, and we should value that life by taking care of ourselves, watching the food that we eat, the things that we drink, the things that we put in our bodies that could cause our body health problems. All of that is acknowledging the supernatural creative being Jehovah, who has created us in the likeness of his image, who is infinite in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So we are an extension of God, and we have to show our praises by the way not only we acknowledge him, but the way we take care of ourselves and the way we love our neighbors, our brothers, our sisters, and others that we meet who even may be strangers.
Oh, my God, I really love that. That sounds wonderful, because what I'm hearing now is that by your activity, you're saying that that goes as a praise to God, the eternal God, you know, by our stance in the community, by our reputation, and I really liked when you said what you eat. You know, many people don't know it, but when you eat bad food, you grieve the spirit, and that spirit of God is within. So when we just be wayward with what we eat and what we drink, tearing the body down, the spirit is eternal, but we have to realize, you know, that our body only has 70, 80, you know, maybe a little more than that. for our lifespan. So I know I don't want to continue to grieve the spirits within. I don't want to continue to do that, because now I have to look at sickness. I have to look at the impending death. I got to look at how I feel every day. Nobody likes to feel bad. And then they want to blame God for that. You know, he saved him, or he's living extra years and I'm not. So I really like that, and that's very practical. What are some other ways that we can experience God's interest in us that will allow God to look down from above and guide our steps? You know, this God is not going to guide us into wrongdoing, into hatred, into a lot of bad things that we might want to engage in. He is not, my daddy used to say, God ain't going to have nothing to do with you. And that's all he had to say, because, you know, back then when my dad was preaching, you know, the black man was scared, the boogeyman and any other man that could get in his path. But, of course, my father turned everything into practicality, because he realized some of them were not very educated. So why would he stand up there and try to teach a university course about God? You know, you can look out in the forest and learn about God, he used to say. You can look at the grass growing with no water on it. I mean, he was just a practical person, and his work showed that it was good for him. He wasn't trying to be no showman. Showman for what? There's only one showman, he used to say. I mean, he was really something. But now let's talk about this God that we need to learn more about, be more cognizant about, be more willing to, as I would say, you know, pick up a banner and proclaim his name. Because, you know, if you find something that's good, you want to go tell others about that. That's common sense. And since his son, as we all should know or know by now, on his ascension, he told you three things to do. One, very powerful. Go ye therefore. You can go from your home. You can go inside your home and start a so-called movement, you know, on your job if it's legal. Some jobs you can't say anything about the Bible or God or be seen with it. And, you know, I just heard something that while China prints 70% of all the Bibles worldwide, they're banning it there in China. I mean, people, you better, you know what, Curtis Mayfield said, you know what, you better wake up. Now, in the express vision from our heart about how to please God, Colonel Harrison, give us a couple of ways that we can please God. You don't have to know a lot about him. You're not insane. You don't have to say, oh, well, I never went to church. You know what? For centuries, no one else did. So, but the word of God has continued. Give us a couple of ways, Colonel Harrison, if you will, on how we can please God.
We can please God by loving others, as God loves us, helping others, as God also helps us, and being a beacon of encouragement to people who are down and out, who are in need, who are downtrodden, who are homeless. We can just give them a few dollars, or buy them some food, have a brief conversation with them, a word of prayer. If they need clothes, provide them with clothing. So many different ways that we can touch people's lives by showing love, kindness, and compassion as God shows it toward us.
Well, some might say, you know what, I don't see God loving us in a compassionate way. My father just died. My mother died. I'm getting ready to die. I don't have what I need to have. Can we actually say that? Next week, you guys, tune in, because we're going to be talking about, is God a God of compassion? And we want to stay within the series of people getting to a point where they can realize that since God is interested in me, I'm going to be interested there. Because, you know, a lot of us have lost ground making claims about God and how he really cares. But, you know, the same man is looking out to say, well, what's going on? Why is God allowing all this suffering? Another religion I was in, that was our best topic. Everybody You wanted to get in a door after you knocked on it. That was it. Why is God allowing so much suffering? I mean, that is a, we should be talking about that too. But since we have not, we will. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Thank you, Colonel Hassan, for being with us again. And don't forget, if no one else loves you, God does. Be blessed. See you next week.